I want to know down here, he says, the issue is not must one repent of willful sins or must one confess of willful sins. Are you saying the issue is then that one does not have to repent of ignorant sins? Or whether one must repent of ignorant sins or whether one must confess of ignorant sins? Is that the issue? I think that is the issue. I contend you must repent and confess ignorant sins. But the Bible does not specify in Acts 8, verse 22, 1 John 1, 7 and 9, doesn't confess, does not specify which kind of sin. Doesn't say willful sin. It just says sin. That would include all of them. So that's the issue. Must one repent of ignorant sins? Must one confess of ignorant sins? That's the issue. Evidently, God doesn't think you have to. I do. And I think I proved that in my last speech. Acts 8, verse 22, 1 John 1, 7 and 9. Bob, I want to ask you a question. And you just tell us what you believe about that. Is a person separated from God by a sin of ignorance when he commits the sin of ignorance, or when he learns about it later and refuses to turn from it? Are you saying that when he committed the sin of ignorance, he was not separated from God, but he wasn't? A lot of people say that. They're not separated until later they learn about it, they refuse to repent, then they're separated. I want to know the answer to that question. Okay, now, Acts 8, verse 22. Put my chart, I believe it's A2, Brent. What are the conditions that a person must meet? Bob said that this is willful sin.
But no, the passage didn't say that. Do you see anywhere where it says willful sin?
Do you see that, Bob? Now, it just says sin, didn't it? Repent, therefore, this thy wickedness. Just talking about sin. Didn't say willful sin. You look at it. I don't see that anywhere. So, therefore, if it doesn't say, didn't say willful, it didn't say ignorant. I'm going to grant that right now. Therefore, it would be any sin, wouldn't it? Look at Acts 8, verse 22. Here's a fellow who became a Christian who had been doing something. He had been performing witchcraft or sorcery or whatever you want to call it. And after he becomes a Christian, probably shortly thereafter, he succumbs to probably a temptation that would have been easy for anybody to succumb to, knowing what his business was before. To keep on doing what he was doing, yet better, doing the real thing. And he tries to buy this gift. Now, Peter said that he thought, thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased for money. So he thought he could do it. Now, if that indicates anything, it indicates it's a sin of ignorance. Now, I don't know that it indicates that. I don't know that's exactly what it means, but if it indicates either way, it indicates it's a sin of ignorance. But I'm not claiming that it does. All I know is there's no way you can say this is a willful sin. Now, that verse proves my proposition. Because here's a fellow that committed a sin, he was told that he had to repent of that sin. Now, how did Bob get out of that? Because he said it's a willful sin. Now, everybody can recognize it does not say in this passage that it was willful. No way. If anything, it's a sin of ignorance. I don't know, because it doesn't say. So I'm not going to send it away. So we don't have to repent of sin, this passage teaches. If it said, this is a willful sin, therefore you need to repent, you have a point. But it does not say that, does it? Let's go on down to the bottom here. He talked about this right here, but he didn't get at the point. Bob, here's the point. Where does the Bible say that the conditions for a Christian are waived just because of sin in question was committed in ignorance? When we look at the conditions, where does it say they're waived? You read that, but you didn't respond. I want to know where it says the conditions are waived. I maintain they're not waived. A fellow commits a sin in ignorance. What does the Bible say? He has to be forgiven for sin, any sin. Repent of that sin. Confess that sin. Acts 8, 22, 1 John 1, 9. Okay? There's no way it says it's waived. Nowhere does it say that when a person becomes a Christian, that the conditions are waived because he doesn't know about his sin. Nowhere. Even if he didn't know he's supposed to be baptized, even if he didn't know he's supposed to believe, he's still responsible to do it or he's lost. Even if he didn't know he's a sinner, he's still lost. They still condemn him, don't they? Now, why do you think it's different for this? I want to know that. Okay, let me look at my notes here. The Bible does not say it's a willful sin. Okay? Then he says, and this has come from up here, if walk in the light is all-inclusive, then does it include, confess, and all that, or doesn't it? I want to know what difference that makes for our discussion. He spent a lot of time on that saying, Pat, you listed walking right here, but you said it's all inclusive, yet you got a separate listing here. Why are you making such a big deal about that? What difference does it make in our discussion? You know what I believe? I believe that walking the light is inclusive. Walking the light means doing what the Bible says. Does the Bible say to repent of your sin, to pray God and confess your sin? Yes, therefore it includes that. Why did I list them separately? Just like the fact that believe in the Bible sometimes is used in an all-inclusive manner for the person who's becoming a Christian. Sometimes it means it includes it all. But we know that, but sometimes we list them separately. But walking the light is all-inclusive. That doesn't mean that you don't have to do the other. When you say believe and you mean believe all-inclusive, you don't mean you don't have to repent, confess, and be baptized. You don't mean that. You mean it's all-inclusive. You include these things that you have to do. So why make a big deal about that anyway? I don't understand. That's exactly what I believe about that. It's all inclusive, but I listed them to make sure that we didn't leave any out. Just like we list, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, even though belief can be used in an all-inclusive sense. All right, put up my chart for Luke 18:13, Grant, and that's going to be the publican, entitled the publican. 5 minutes. That's N6. I see, I'm not going to get through all my notes here. While he's going to look at that, let's look at the publican, Luke 18:13. That seemed to be a proof text for Bob. And the publican was told, or he wasn't told, but he said, he prayed, he said, God be merciful to me, sin. Now I want to know something, Bob, and look at this. The Baptist thinks that the publican proves that an alien, that all an alien has to do to be saved is admit that he's a sinner. Because the publican just admitted he was a sinner. And they say, see, you don't have to be baptized. All you got to do is admit that he's admit you're a sinner. And they use the publican as proof. Now, you know the way I'd answer that, Bob? I would say, I would remind the Baptist that other conditions are mentioned elsewhere, like in Mark 16:16. And besides that, this is not a new covenant example of salvation anyway. Now, Bob, how would you answer the Baptist on that? Would you answer it the same way? That there are other conditions mentioned elsewhere, and besides that, this is not a New Testament example of conversion? That's what I'd answer. Well, if that's how you would answer him, that's how you should answer yourself. First of all, this is not a New Testament example of conversion. Second of all, there are other conditions mentioned elsewhere. You know, really, if the publican stands in place of a person that's not a child of God, I agree more with the Baptist than on that than you do, obviously. It stands in the place, an illustration of how a person becomes a child of God. He says, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, there are other conditions mentioned elsewhere. It's not talking about a child of God, what he has to do to become a Christian. This is a publican. The Pharisee there is a child of God. It is a sin that sins of ignorance are involved here. Does it say that? Does anybody see sins of ignorance there? It's just a sin. Why don't you go to a place where prayer for sins of ignorance is definitely involved, like Luke 23:34. I know that a prayer for sins of ignorance is there. Father, Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. You don't know in Luke 18:13 involves sins of ignorance. But you chose to go to that one instead of going to this one. Well, we know somebody prayed for sins of ignorance. Why didn't we go to this one? Because he knows that even though Jesus prayed for these people, please forgive them for they know not what they do, they still had to repent and be baptized. They still had to meet the conditions laid out for non-Christians. That's why he didn't go to that. Now, he assumed that there are sins of ignorance here. He can't prove that. Even if sins of ignorance are involved here, it is assumed that he was forgiven before and without meeting other conditions. Just what we said with Jesus. Jesus prayed for sins of ignorance. But they had to meet conditions. We know of the same people in Acts 2:36-38, chapter 3:15-17, they had to become a Christian to meet the conditions. 1 John 1, and when you're talking to the Baptist, he says John 3:16. And you say, no, that's not the only condition. Is belief the only condition? Or should we go to other passages? You know how to do that, don't you, Bob? So, now let's go to another passage. 1 John 1:9. We must confess our sins, not just that we have sinned and we have sinned in ignorance. You want to take Luke 18:13 as a condition for a Christian. I don't think that's right, but if you want to, then go to this passage and he tells us another one, doesn't it? If you'll check out Leviticus 4:27-35, I know I don't have time to read it right now. Leviticus 4:35, under the Old Covenant, talks about what sins of ignorance when they're committed. It talks about a common person, okay? We're going to assume then that the publican was a common person. He fits this guy. When they committed sin of ignorance, they had to meet the conditions after the sin had come to their knowledge in order to be forgiven. Now, the way you're doing Luke 18:13, you're making a contradiction here. You're saying all you had to do was say, God be merciful to me, sinner. But Leviticus 4:27-35 says, the sin comes to his knowledge, he brings a sacrifice, and then he's forgiven. Is it a contradiction? Not only that, you assume that all that is said here, all that is reported, is what was said. Brent, go to my last chart on my affirmative, A12. Now, I went in a hurry at the end of the last episode, I was running out of time, and maybe I shouldn't have done that. But I showed my second last chart. That a person had to repent of sin. Repent means to change, means to change your mind. And in Acts 8:22, they had to change their mind regarding this guy looking at. You know, Jezebel in Revelation 2:21 had to repent of her fornication. So that's what we got to do. Repent and confess. Repent and confess the sin. Now, confession. Here's a syllogism. Number one, a Christian must confess a sin in order to be forgiven. Now, simple enough. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, Satan will just forgive us of our sin. Number two, a sin of ignorance is a sin. The definition of a sin is a transgression of law, a sin of ignorance. Ignorant or not, it's still a transgression of the law, therefore it's a sin. All unrighteousness is sin, not just the ones we know about. Therefore, a Christian must confess a sin of ignorance in order to be forgiven of. That's plain and simple. Why can't we understand that? These are the conditions a Christian must meet. He must repent of his sin, and he must confess his sin.